This is the Studio Alchemy Podcast, episode 101, The Power of Symbols. Our quote of the day was said by Marcus Aurelius. You have power over your mind, but not outside events. Realize this and you will find strength. Hello, everyone. The purpose of this podcast is to explore creative ways to transform our lives using the artistic process. Alchemy was the ancient study of changing materials from one thing into another, and we all do this every day. Every choice you make is transforming our world. On this podcast, we hunt for the wise balance between accepting what is and taking empowered action. My name is Addie Hirschton. I am an artist. I sign my paintings with the name Vita. I teach art classes and have written a few books, including my new book, The Alchemy of Symbols, that we will be reading from today. To find out more about my projects, classes, and to sign up for my art newsletter, I invite you to go to my website, studioalchemy.art. And now for our topic of the day. This episode is an excerpt from my book, The Alchemy of Symbols, How to Use the Power of Images to Transform Your Life. I'd like to share a special thanks to the Indiana Arts Commission for their generous grant to write this book. I fully illustrated it with my drawings and paintings, and the process to make it took me over 2 years. If you would like a copy of the illustrated book, go to my website, studioalchemy.art, for a link to purchase it. And now, I will read to you Chapter 1, The Power of Symbols. In 2009, I fell in love with a poet named Brad Severance. When artists fall in love, they tend to spew out artwork in great waves of emotion, like pretty sentimental vomit. These eruptions are akin to the strutting of a peacock with his feathers. They are intended to lure our mates in, to get their attention, and to be great gifts of affection. The art philosopher Dennis Dutton believed that artistic expression is rooted in human instinct and sexual selection. He wrote that the primal sexual urge explains why people create, quote, flamboyant art. During that season of our lives, I erupted with a flurry of paintings, images of people reaching toward each other, the color orange, and for some reason, a lot of circles. Brad wrote poems to me. Here is one of my favorites. June 28th, 2019. I hear you. Do you hear me? My lament and my devotion. You are breathless and nocturnal in a room next to mine. Before the valley door towers the guard Janus. He divides our worlds, two from one. But I am an owl, I am a hawk, I am a bird of love. I am a fire liminal. No mask shall come between us. You need not knock, I am a sail against the western wind. We are one face, one heart, one winged love that does the gate unhinge. This poem is about connecting authentically with another person. And it is chock full of symbols. The image of the mask stood out to me as one of the most potent images. If someone wears a mask, it is more difficult to read the emotions they show with facial expressions. A mask can symbolically represent the facade we display when we meet people, but do not share our inner feelings. If we are to exchange authentic emotions with another person, it is essential that we share our vulnerable, true nature and be honest with one another. If we want genuine relationships, it is essential to take off the metaphorical masks we wear that hide our authentic selves. "No mask shall come between us" was my favorite line from all the poetry Brad wrote that summer. I had just purchased my art studio, Studio Alchemy, and was renovating it to be our future gathering space for art shows and classes. In the middle of the main room is a beam that holds up the house. In the fall of 2019, I painted the words from the poem on the beam. They were the first of many words and images I added to embellish our special community studio. Just a few months later, in the spring of 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic hit and masks became an everyday part of our lives. Sometimes symbols present themselves at ironic moments that have symbolic significance. The quote on the beam, "No mask shall come between us," now seemed strangely ironic. My friend Jennifer Foley says that synchronistic moments like these are winks from the universe that show up when everything is flowing, validating that I am on the right path. When everyone in my community was asked to start wearing masks in public, it felt very awkward at first. This awkwardness was not just because wearing a mask was new, but because of what the symbol of the mask historically represented. Before COVID-19, masks represented a fake veneer, a facade. Masks would represent an illusion that was acted out on stage. Masks were most often used in my culture on Halloween. On Halloween, we wore masks to pretend to be something we are not, like a scary tiger or the Phantom of the Opera. The masks were a barrier, not just to the COVID germs that we wanted to barricade against, but to the manner of social interaction we were used to. During that time, we would venture out to the grocery store only when we absolutely had to go. We had no social gatherings, no weddings, no funerals, and no Thanksgiving dinners. We were afraid for ourselves and each other. A collective yearning for human connection was created. Isolation had become the locked gate from the poem. We yearned for love that would the gate unhinge, love that unites those who have been separated. During 2020, when Brad and I went places together, both wearing our masks, as was the custom, we would jokingly say, "No mask shall come between us," like the line from the poem, and then kiss through the mask. The joke continued into other realms of our lives. If a cat jumped between us, it was, "No kitty shall come between us." If a blanket was tangled up, blocking us from embracing, it was, "No blanket shall come between us." Anything that could block us from each other was another symbol like the mask and became part of the joke. Symbols can be a funny way to communicate with another person. When the coronavirus was born, our culture had to redefine masks as a symbol. Suddenly, masks could represent safety. It seemed masks were the one thing that might save us. Masks became a somewhat effective security blanket. No longer did they represent what might divide people from each other. They symbolically morphed. They became what could help bring us together again. If we continued to wear the masks, hopefully they could get the virus under control. Masks as a symbol have also represented control, not just over viruses, but control over perception. If someone acts in a way that is contrary to their true self, in order to alter the way another person views them, they have gained control over another person's viewpoint. This alter ego, the character people present to the world that masks their true self, was labeled the persona by psychologist Carl Jung. The persona is a facade that suppressively covers up someone's true nature. Jung described the persona in Essays on Analytical Psychology as a mask designed on the one hand to make a definite impression upon others and to conceal the true nature of the individual. If we want to connect with people, we must let go of the controlled facades of persona to show our inner true nature. Ideally, if we want to get at the truth of who we are, individually and collectively, we must take off the symbolic mask of the persona and question what purpose the mask served. When Oscar Wilde wrote, "The mask tells us more than the face," he was suggesting that the persona mask, the facades people act out, can tell us a lot about their inner workings. It is what they think we want to see. Persona masks show us what people are afraid of and their ideals, just like symbolic artwork does. Symbols are one form of mask. Symbols that are used in artwork, writing, ritual, and social customs are a layer humans use to project their inner emotions out for the world to see. If we examine what symbols represent and why they are important to us, we can uncover the truth of who we truly are. Hidden within the layers of symbols used by people is a reflection of their true nature. Symbols express our passions, our fears, and our hopes for the future. Symbols express all of the important elements of human life in a language that is often recognizable across cultures. The best symbols draw us in like magnets because they echo parts of ourselves. We yearn to see the honest center of our being. We yearn for symbols that accurately mirror our inner emotions. In ancient Greece, clay tablets were used to document legal contracts. When the duties agreed upon in the contract were finished, the clay tablet was thrown to the ground to smash it into pieces. The people who had been obligated to the contract were then given a broken piece from the contract as a souvenir. The clay contract was a symbol representing the agreement that was made between the two parties. This is the origin of the word symbol. It comes from the Greek word symbolon, which means thrown token. Can you imagine how joyous it would have felt to pay off a debt, then have the contract that represented that debt be smashed to pieces? All symbols, like the Greek clay tablets, are images that not only stand for something else, but also create an emotional response from the viewer. I divide symbols into three main categories: individual symbols, cultural symbols, and universal symbols. The first type of symbols are individual symbols. These are images that are important to just one person because of their experiences. For example, when I was a child, my grandfather would always pretend the car was being taken over by an unknown force. He couldn't control the wheel. And suddenly we would find ourselves in front of an ice cream shop. Of course, we had to get an ice cream cone because that was what the car wanted. My grandfather loved ice cream. His delight for it was infectious. Consequently, I have always associated ice cream with good times. For me, ice cream is a happy personal symbol. Other people, however, may associate ice cream with negative memories. If every time a child was given ice cream and told by their parents, "Don't eat too much, you don't want to get fat," that child might come to associate ice cream with feelings of guilt and shame. Many objects can be loaded with positive and negative personal symbolism based on the good and bad things that have happened in a person's life. The second type of symbols are cultural symbols. These are images that are important to a group of people because of their shared collective experiences. Cultural symbols are often expressed in the form of rituals, customs, ceremonies that honor the stages of life. Cultural symbols give us a variety of diverse flavors. They are the spice of life, from Easter eggs to Sunday night football gatherings. Comfort can be found in the familiar set of symbols from the traditions that we grew up with. The third type of symbols are universal symbols. These are images that resonate with all people, regardless of their culture or the time in which they live. Universal symbols show deep ingrained human instincts. If I were to travel back in time 1,000 years and showed a medieval European peasant the image of a mother, they would understand the image. The mother is a universal symbol that every human who has ever lived can understand, regardless of whether their own biological mother was absent or present in their lives. Universal symbols are basic to our fundamental nature. Universal symbols are often referred to as archetypes. The word archetype is derived from the Greek word archetypos, which meant the beginning type, the prototype. Symbolists use the term to indicate that a symbol has a universal appeal, that it comes from our origin. The first person to write about archetypes was the ancient Hellenic Jewish philosopher Philo of Alexandria. He wrote that archetypes are what endures when the soul has been progressively purified of its selfish and egotistical desires and recognizes the unity with the divine. Archetypes to Philo were the core essence of the soul when it was stripped of the individual personality of the ego. When we speak of archetypal symbols today, we are referring not to a personal soul, but to the collective soul of all humanity. Psychologist Carl Jung described archetypes as, quote, pieces of life itself, images that are intricately connected to the living individual by the bridge of the emotions. Archetypal symbols express the core of humanity's basic nature. A few examples of archetypal symbols are light, dark, hot, cold, tree, earth, air, fire, water, food, mother, father, and child. Of the three types of symbols, personal, cultural, and universal, I find universal symbols to be the most interesting to study because they point to the overarching truths of the human experience. I believe we are more alike than we are different. Or, as Maya Angelou wrote in her poem titled Human Family, in minor ways we differ, in major we're the same. If we focus on what unites us, we can bridge the divide that separates groups of people. By focusing on universal symbols, we can learn how to communicate with each other, so the fear of different groups of people will be shed. When artwork is described as classic, it has a timeless quality that transcends culture, age, or time period. This is when the artist has used universal symbols that resonate with anyone who views it. The artist and the viewer are then united across time and space through the universal language of symbols. Aristotle wrote, "Art does not produce the outward appearance of things, but their inner significance." Sometimes it can be difficult to tell whether a symbol is a personal, cultural, or universal symbol. It can be difficult to view symbols with an eye that is not fogged by our own bias, just as it can be difficult to imagine another person has desires that are different from our own. For example, in my culture, if a black cat crosses my path when I am walking down a road, it is considered a symbol of bad luck. This is, however, a symbol specific to my culture and one I would love to change. I have two wonderful black cats in my family. Sadly, due to this cultural bias, black cats are often passed over when people are selecting pets in animal shelters in the United States. In England and Japan, black cats are considered to bring good luck and prosperity to a home. In Japan, cat figurines called Maniki Niko are symbols of good luck and are placed in the windows of shops and households. If a friend was wearing a t-shirt with a black cat image on it, I might assume, based on my cultural bias, that the cat on the shirt represented evil. To the friend, the black cat might represent something else entirely. It is in this way that symbols that are not universal can cause confusion or be lost in translation if we make assumptions about how to interpret them. I'd love to say that in the Encyclopedia of Symbols section of this book, I define symbols universally, but that would be impossible. every person is limited by their own biases, including myself. Universal interpretations can be found in feelings, not words. If you use this or any other encyclopedia to help you interpret symbols, keep in mind that all writers are limited by their own viewpoint. I encourage you to listen to your own gut reactions to the symbol definitions to consider whether they resonate with you. Symbols can change over time as well. Masks are an example of a symbol that has morphed recently within my culture. Another example are goats. Goats have represented many things over the past several thousand years. In ancient Greece, the goat god Pan was valued as a symbol of fertility. With the rise of Christianity in Europe, the symbol of the goat changed from a positive image to a negative one. The physical characteristics of goats were added to images of the devil during the Middle Ages. This is also an example of how symbols can be used to push the current trends from specific eras of time. Symbols may change over time, but humans have always used them. In her fascinating book, The First Signs, Unlocking the Mysteries of the World's Oldest Symbols, archaeologist Genevieve von Petzinger describes how she traveled to visit numerous cave paintings around the world. Climbing deep within the shadowed and muddy caves, she documented every ancient painting pattern she could find. She then transferred the information into a database to map the time and location of each shape. She found there were 32 common symbols that were used over and over by early humans during the Ice Age in Africa and Europe. The shapes found included circles, asterisks, triangles, dots, spirals, handprints, and more. What these symbols represented to those people is unknown, but they clearly show a pattern of symbols that have been part of the human tradition since the beginning of our existence. Petzinger stated that patterns can, quote, help us find meaning where there seemed to be none. Symbols are part of the human experience, not just for artists like Bradley and me when we created our flurry of artwork for each other, but for everyone. Symbols are a way of translating feelings into forms. Through the use of symbols, humans have been able to shape and define what is important to them. When we follow the metamorphosis of symbols, we find ourselves in each step. The main message of this chapter. Symbols can mean many different things to different people and change over time. Symbols tell us something important about the people who created them. Universal symbols show patterns that cross cultural divides. Questions to ask yourself. What are your favorite individual, cultural, and universal symbols? And that was chapter one, The Power of Symbols, from the book, The Alchemy of Symbols. To purchase your own fully illustrated copy, I invite you to go to studioalchemy.art. This concludes the Studio Alchemy podcast. May these thoughts and stories comfort and heal your spirit. May you be filled with inspiration. May you be like the lotus flower and build your home in the muddy water. May you find your voice.